interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM437. Beyond the crickets, folks, these garden invaders, the wild turkeys, are enough to make a guy start drinking whiskey. Holy smokes, what they can do. Oh, and whatever the reports say, the guy behind the woodshed was not COVID-icided. Just isn't going to happen, folks. And I think I figured out the final COVID-ID, the COVID-ID variant, is going to be an STD, sustainable totalitarianism. Totalitarianism. A disease caused by the psychopathic, predatory, parasitic mange on the global population of crickets. It's only continued because we're crickets. I'm listening to an old broadcast of Vinny and Hammond Bundy, and thinking if everybody that was supporting him would get together, you could just decimate this position. And yet we won't. And I don't understand why that is. I don't know why everybody's considering what's coming down is just temporary when they've shown that it's not going to be. And hopefully I get to the end of the broadcast, near the end here. I want to bring up something. I'm finding out, I was asked to look over a document, an affidavit. It wasn't. I redid what it was supposed to be due relative to your exemptions on these COVID vaccines, and I found out two things. We'll touch on that. So anybody with an employee is an employee and threatened with their job. I think if you look at your statute closely for that exemption, you're going to find out it's not properly imposed. It may be there, but your job is not at risk in those states that offer that, the three exemptions. Anyway. I'll get to that hopefully. It's a work in progress at this point and not finalized. But as I did the study on it after being asked to, here in the line of people I'm trying to help, and I'm backed up big time for all of you waiting, all of you all that are waiting for an answer from me, I'm really backed up. I also don't have a couple of the answers I want for y'all. I don't want to bring you into jeopardy. I don't want to cause you all extra work. But the way the system is now adapting, as I told you it does, the amoeba, the parasitic amoeba, we have to be fluid on how we address it, and I'm trying to come up with answers that are efficient for people. As we saw last week, I offered how I went through. Someone asked me about Idaho. I went through, did their communicable disease laws, but a little bit of trouble I was having finding it. I found it, and then what to go look for, how to go through that. So those of you would hear how that would work, and possibly bringing a little bit of context to it as well. I hope that it was helpful for those that are attempting to look forward ahead of this and get yourself ready. But remember, even when you see, I mean, this is the thing about the Portugal case. They said right there that the doctor is the exclusive authority relative to your treatment. They're not the exclusive authority because you are that authority. But they have the main power relative to any treatment. And that's right in the law. But the only obligation for the doctor, the professional health caregiver, is to report the communicable diseases that are on the list. And that starts a whole process. That's due process right there. Everybody doesn't quite get this. This is where you're going to get, you want to assert your rights? You want to be a constitutionalist? It's there. What you're going to find out is those people running that are not constitutional. And that can be, that's the trap. That's what you have to set up to do. And they're really good at how they evade that. But because even a doctor says, do this relative to any mitigation, relative to anything, doesn't require you say, okay. You, again, understand where your authority is. Not okay is okay from your perspective. This is where you have to be engaged. This is your responsibility to be engaged for you. Apparently, lots of people don't really want to, or they go and find just enough that they think that's enough, and it's, in these days, it's not. Saying no without any explanation is maybe more efficient. In other words, what I keep saying, and this has been coming up recently, it's better to have the solid foundation in your back pocket. Don't telegraph what you know. Just say just what you need to say at the moment. Put the rest in your back pocket to back up your definitive no. And you put the burden, you flip the burden directly on the other party making the demand. As I've been explaining is how you do this, and this came up again in this affidavit. I realize the due process that's being failed is the clause you need to lead with in the affidavit. In my perception, relative to how it would apply and what I would use in my back pocket, the things I know about how to apply if I was confronted with it, that clause would flip the burden, and what the flipping the burden does is it forces them to have to show where they comply with the communicable disease law. And my point is I'm trying to explain these things in as succinctly and clearly as I possibly can so you understand how to approach the problem in innocence, not as a subject. And your first position is to show there was no jurisdiction of anyone speaking to you to say what they're saying, let alone demand anything. And you want to flip that burden immediately. And you condition everything. It's, in a way, some of you have heard, it's what I like, a conditional acceptance. Once you comply with the law, I'll listen to you. Until you comply with the law, you're a criminal. Now, how you deal with that part on your interactions with people, that's up to everybody to do. But last week, I went through the steps on how you go to what law it is, find your what the due process was, and then you put, before the burden flipper, you put on them that hasn't been done relative to what they're asking. And until they do that, you don't know you don't have nothing to tell them, and they have nothing to trespass you with. Because it is a trespass. And before I go on too much further, again, Twitter's an intro. I don't really engage Twitter. It's impossible for me to actually use Twitter. I cannot get, it sucks out all my CPU power to even use it. In fact, today I cut it off 2 minutes early because it wants to hang on to everything. But I barely put anything onto Twitter when I come on just to tell people I'm coming online. But I noticed this week, Goodman Brown on the Twitter reminded me of a post I did back around December. And I want you to remember this, and it's relative to Clint Richardson's work as well, which in that tweet, I put his link for his Lethal Injection 2, I think it was. And what he reposted back to me was an important right that I mentioned at the time. And relative to these injections now, and what Clint Richardson, Lethal Injection, Corruption of Blood mentioned, and what I spun off of, relative to those of you that know what's in the Constitution and what the government was prohibited of doing, and also in showing when you bring this up, they haven't provided due process that they were supposed to. In other words, you are innocent. And this was to remind us, and I want to restate here, and thank you for retweeting that back from December. It's memory hole stuff relative to what I go through. Of that there's no attainder shall work corruption of blood. So not only that, when you see that printed, not only does that require a due process before they can even get to a thought about attainder, they can't even do the attainder. They can't attach you, your future. And that's what I told you before relative to these injections. So those of you that may not have a religious, well, they call it exception, and it's really not either. I won't go through that quite yet, but it's not an exemption. They call it an exception. The objection that you have to doing this, there's also a constitutional provision that you can back up. Even if they found you convicted of something, they can't corrupt your blood. Now, the corruption of blood concept, and I'm not going to get into it more. You can go do the research. It's not actually about your blood. But in fact, it is relative to your inheritance. It's really more about your inheritance, your heirs. It's about your property outside of you. And they weren't supposed to make something that affected your future generations, as that quote is. Again, they use these terms as stalking horses to help them impose upon you. Anyway, getting back to that, I thank Goodman Brown for reminding me about the no attainder shall work corruption of blood. But you're supposed to be innocent, right? And you know there is no test, right? This is proven and not a question. So I also added some hashtags to that. But don't be lying down. Action is truth. Hashtag action is truth. This is not something that you're going to sit back and get resolved. And inaction is improper. Another hashtag. Inaction is improper. At that time, I said, be the beacon. And this is all relative to what we see in the news, trying to correlate these things to make some kind of attachment, to make things, these ideas tangible for people. But remember, last week I amended that to say, be the backlash. Why? Because that's what they don't want you to be. They don't want you to be the action resistance asserting what they have no jurisdiction to say. And I said that word a couple times now, this jurisdiction. If I can equate it simply to the courts, which is not, I don't want to limit it to there, but they'll say the jurisdiction is the power to hear and determine. Pretty simple. Under the power to hear and determine, they have another word. It's a little bit confused with the word jurisdiction. With the power to hear and determine, they have authority to make things, rules and things to be able to do that. So you have jurisdiction and authority. One comes before the other. One has to be proven before the other can invoke itself. You'll hear this in the enforcement of discretion in these officials, which I have identified for you as not existing until jurisdiction is established. And I've told you the communicable disease laws of your states identify when that jurisdiction establishes. And because we have limited form government, it also establishes the limit of that jurisdiction, even within a communicable disease statute. So those of you that read the Constitution and understand it, or said you think you understand it, it's all written there to do, and it's, for the most part, executed by the legislature to allow you the protection. So anybody not relying on the black and white are allowing yourself to be disturbed, if you will. And that doesn't mean you have an answer when you do this. What it means is you are making that record, I say, is all important to make sure it's not opinion. Written formal records are made for you, each one of you, case-by-case basis, that you can establish they never had that authority, even though they're criminals and they will wield it. No law that said murder was illegal or unlawful was ever not done because someone believed it was unlawful. Murders happen all the time. This is the problem with this fallen world. I would hope for a whole lot better, but I haven't seen the evidence of it. Anyway, before I forget another one, thank you again, Grammy, for the donation to keep Spreaker going. I keep forgetting about that as I went on. I want to get to the message so quickly each week. I don't say that enough. Thank you, Grammy. I do appreciate your continuing support for our network, and that has become a Spreaker, a pivotal hub for us to send stuff from. So, thank you very much. I forgot to say it last week again, and I'm ashamed of myself, but not so bad. Just, I do appreciate. I hope you have been well. I haven't heard from you or anything going on, as well as a couple of other people. Don't know what's going on. The network chat room is looking like a bunch of bots and hosts relative to the interaction anymore. So let's move into something I've been trying to show you. I guess it's the problem of identification of what we're dealing with. And I'm really still having some trouble. I don't have a trouble on one level, but again, that's that needle in the haystack of noise. If they can do this nonsense, and we find out it's all that they can do this technology and mess us around, what could they do that they're not telling us about? It's been a question, and so I'm keen to be looking for anomalies in the matrix, if you will. And a couple have come up, but again, not to get paranoid, I'm trying to identify, is there something there? Can we even trust any of the news? Right, and this is where I'm getting to in these studies that referencing COVID-19. It's almost as if the way I'm looking, my mind's starting to shut down on it. Not that I don't understand it, because I'm looking at nothing to read. If somebody in some study refers, and I'll refer to some here today for us to use for support. So there's the disclaimer of hypocrisy coming. If I see COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, SARS-CoV-2 discussed, it, to me, that just shuts down and invalidates the study. I don't care what, even if it's looking in our direction, for those of us wanting to find out what this thing might be, what might help us in case it is something beyond the flu, And I'm going to say this again. I think we're in a really bad flu year. There's something going around. I think because we've been focused on the wrong thing, they haven't been making, if vaccines work, they haven't been making any vaccines that would stop what influenza has been doing for 2 years, mutating as it does naturally, that I think we might be seeing that underlying this. But so the word to the wise and cautious, there is a flu. It came, I think, 2 weeks, 2 months before, usually shows up every month after school starts. And this, these have been coming. I told you this in 2019. These were shown to us coming from 3 years before that. They're getting worse and worse. More and more people are dying. So that's a real natural, apparently natural thing that I will give a caution to. But I started, the more I read of this stuff, I start finding there's so many things that cause this disease, this flu-like symptoms. And I ran across another one. I want to kind of go through this just a little bit. Like I was pointing out some other things. And you realize that the world is a pretty aggressive thing here. You really have to pay attention. But the marvel then, our body is to have these immune systems at work to try and help out. Well, they do help out. They work, and then they work to protect us if they don't kill us. And that's the kind of the tenuous line we have here on this place. But here's a set of symptoms. And then we'll see if, does it sound like COVID-19? And then we'll look and see, is it? And then I'm going to show you how it's related to everything I said it was going to be pointed back to with this thing I think they're causing in people. As we're finding out now, even the influenza vaccine, all vaccines apparently, after a certain time, and I can't remember now what year that was, I think it was the DPT shot was changed. From then now, they've changed the way they do it, that it doesn't actually prevent anymore. It actually limits symptoms, and it doesn't prevent. So these things are, none of these things since then have been vaccines. That they actually reduce your future ability of your immune system to function. So this would be particularly keen in the plan if your motivation is profit. To bring everybody subject to your will and your so-called, your medicine, so-called. And moving here to the signs and symptoms, something else I just found. See if I can get this really quickly. Cough, a shortness of breath, chest pain, fever are seen in the lungs when the lungs are infected, appearing like pneumonia, was one little thing here about this. In the pulmonary section of this little thing here, that looking at it, it sounds like COVID. It plays a common role in pulmonary invasive mycosis seen in adults with HIV and other immunocompromised conditions. It also affects healthy adults at a much lower frequency and severity, as healthy hosts may have no or mild symptoms. Does it sound like COVID yet? Yeah, it sounds pretty close. I mean, it does sound like COVID, doesn't it? And I don't know what, I guess, so also, how do you treat it? Let's go down and see how you treat this. Well, they bring up some of these antivirals and these things. And then also, they can treat this one, like we see ivermectin, we can see this one is an antifungal. Prophylaxis treatment for this, remember we're talking about HIV people now, and how they got succumbed to this, and I've suggested to you that this is all the treatment that Fauci fall prey to, and NIH, that's all they've been working on, was trying to advance these HIV things they created, just like they're doing this COVID. COVID is just a disease set. It's just flu-like symptoms, just like I read, just like this thing is saying it does. But we have now an antifungal that works as a prophylaxis of fluconazole and itraconazole. Itraconazole reduces the risk of contracting what? Is this COVID? Boy, is this a treatment? Well, it actually relates to the same symptoms. They're very similar. And in the same way, different materials affect it, which is saying it's not necessarily viral. In this case, it's called, and here we go to our digital connection, cryptococcosis. And so this cryptococcosis is a fungal infection that is stopped by other chemistry, which fascinated me when I looked into it, because this itraconazole was found in a study, a drug synergy of combinatory treatment with remdesivir, and I'm going to say, folks, really look at this. This is a really problematic drug here. Going on, the repurposed drug, now remember, they're condemning repurposing of ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or all that stuff, but they can repurpose this profiteering type stuff. Repurposed drugs, fluoxetine and itraconazole, effectively impairs SARS-CoV-2 infection in vitro. Remember, it's not in you, but in the glass, inside the... First of all, I have a problem with the SARS-CoV-2 because we know there's no test. And that's been and that's a synthesized thing. But let's move over to here. They say this is actually a fungal condition, which this drug affects in the fungal state, but also moves over and affects something called a common cold. Totally irrational, but this is the problem that is not irrational when you understand it's a fraud. And it's consistent with a diminished or immunocompromised body that these things work, and this one stops a fungal, like the ivermectin stops a parasite. So we have to look a little bit deeper on this for us. And we start to wonder whether or not we're looking in the world and all these, we sense this, I think, intuitively. These flu-like symptoms are caused by a lot of different things. As I said before, early on, it's just your immune system responding the way it's designed to work. You get the fever, there's a couple of different mechanisms that we kill off the beasties if they are, and the body goes through that process. And if your system is not immunocompromised, the healthy people's immune systems can deal with it fairly well. That's pretty miraculous, generally. And so it behooves us to have our immune systems up and functioning in all their capacity, and then we can have these supplement things that come in case it's not quite enough. And I know that directly because I almost died from something I didn't know I had. I thought it was the flu. It turned into something like, I think it was sepsis of some sort. Bacteria got into my blood through the pleural sac because I decided one time I was sneezing so much during a flu that I would hold it back. That was the biggest problem, biggest mistake in my life at that point. Almost cost me my life. And I caught something that normally kills, I told you this before, caught something that normally kills people in 4 days. It's what you see in some of this. People die very quickly. It's really sepsis, apparently. And it required an antibiotic to stop it, otherwise I was dead. And I told the doctor I was dead. I said, if you don't stop this, I realize now my immune system's not going to work. If you will, I was told I'm not going to be here in 4 days. If you don't solve this, I'm dead. And that doctor took it very seriously, and it took him a while, and it perplexed him what was going on with me, because I was very healthy until then. I was also at the time period when you're seeing lots of people dying now, in their 30s. Healthy as a horse, it seemed, and almost dead. Pretty fascinating reflection. And they had the only thing that stopped this was a antibiotic. So I can't say that Western medicine and antibiotics weren't helpful. But they are risk-based, and that's how you do that. And so I benefited from an antibiotic, which I normally wouldn't have taken. But there was nothing natural that would stop it, and my body was doing all it could for 2.5 weeks. 2 weeks longer than anybody else, probably, apparently. And so there's a place for this. And there's an analysis that has to be done. And this is why you go through, that's why they do risk-based stuff. And say, well, what's the risk of the harm versus the cure, if you will, the stopping of the problem? When I see this fungal material able to stop SARS-CoV-2, maybe we're not dealing with a virus. And maybe we're not dealing in what they think, because this is all just made up medicine. This is all made up stuff based on models, and we're going to see that again here after a bit. No, the studies are based in model systems, not reality. It's like nobody does any tests really anymore. You're living in that data world already. You're living in that matrix already. That an antifungal showed that it could impair SARS-CoV-2 infection is interesting, because that's only talking to symptoms either, the infection. That's the pneumonia-style part. It's not talking to the actual agent. And so we start to parse this through. We start finding out we're not even being told accurately what's going on. But what it does point out is that we aren't dealing with what we're being told we're dealing with. And here we see that a repurposed drug is not outlawed. We know that. So why is the government, maybe this is a rhetorical question, maybe it's not. Maybe it doesn't really have an answer because we don't know the government, who they are inside. Why would they not use repurposed other chemicals like ivermectin? Now, what are the actual actions? They put it in the biological context. Ivermectin has something to do with inhibiting some kind of a chemical reaction, which doesn't cause the gut of the thing that is working to function so it dies. Okay, so that's more like a chemical thing. It's a physical, biological inhibitor thing, but we're not dealing with something like that. On the fungal side, we might be. But there's a bunch of stages. There are bacteria to fungus. It might actually be the same organism in a different stage of its life. Oh, well, now we might get it. Maybe there's additional types of parasites out there. Why ivermectin might work in a capacity. And so we start looking through this, and I would suggest we should open up our mind that we're looking, again, as a chemical attack of life. These are chemistries that are being worked with, not biologies, if you will, that work and interfere with things. That we should be looking at how this thing works. Like we found out ivermectin in the study disassembles graphene oxide so that it can't be the substrate upon which they hang all this novel Trojan horse. And then by that doing it, those elements become vulnerable to the body to be cleaned out. Is a different way to think about what we're doing relative to this thing. That these symptoms come out to be nothing, not COVID-19 at all, although they could be if you didn't have other things and other symptoms, yet there is a tie back through HIV, immunocompromised systems, and medicine, so-called, drugs that don't seem to be confined to how they work to where they were designed. To me, says we don't know, again, we don't know what we're dealing with, and we can go ahead and start learning from this what really might be going underneath. And I say that because if once we get a better handle of what might be going on, those of us who are looking may be able to find alternatives. And I think that's been coming out for a long time. A story came out, brain infection. And we see the infection of the injection going to the brain. And remember, we can't use ivermectin there if the study was correct because it can't go through the blood-brain barrier, we're told. And it's fluvoxamine, I think it was, that does, and it gets rid of that brain fog. Brain infection, relative to this cryptococcus thing, study or report to tell us, cough and chest pain could be symptoms of this deadly condition. Well, if you look at the fever and the symptoms and the shortness of breath and everything, well, shortness of breath, that could be your heart. Well, that could be from the injection too, right? I mean, all this stuff is interrelated, it seems. But this is specific to this fungal disease, this fungal agent. A team of researchers have studied cryptococcus, a disease that infects humans and animals after breathing in airborne fungi. Fungi? The fungi? The disease can result in lung infection that may subsequently spread to the brain by hitching a lift inside white blood cells. Symptoms of the infection can induce chest pain, cough, vision changes, and fever. Not identical, but you see everybody getting stuffy head, cold, sniffly medicine stuff, and all of a sudden we got COVID. The government's doing this too. And so I wanted to point out something here, maybe a little bit of conspiratorial here. Airborne fungi, the fun guy, not so fun. Is that what's going on? Is that an environmental thing we're not being told? Is this kind of a thing that's going on? You get the Central Valley, California cough. It's developed by bacteria or fungi that way too. But fungi or bacteria may be different stages of the same, of similar stages of an organism. There's a lot of things in the world. We were told about this cryptococcus years ago by this study, what it does, but it's an airborne fungi. Oh, a little bit of maybe hyperbola with all the chemtrails. If it's fungi, could it just be an increasing pathogen? we're hearing certain environmental changes going on. The air has been drying out. We see this. I don't know. I'm just bringing up the idea. We're going to have a story here. What else causes these flu-like symptoms that is blamed on COVID, coincident with the surging in areas susceptible to it? And I guess I'm spending maybe a little bit longer time I should be here to point out there are lots of things our bodies respond to, whether natural or man-made, that are not anything like what we're being told. That was to be the obligation and the duty of the officials to clarify for everyone on a case-by-case basis. That when you start seeing different materials able to stop SARS-CoV-2, for one, if it was real, if it wasn't synthetic, see, it's a chemical weapon, so this is why chemistry can stop it. We have one implication relative to ivermectin and graphene oxide destruction for one of the Trojan horse components. But I go to another story here, COVID treatment. Antifungal drug shown to have impressive results in killing COVID-19. Well, killing symptoms? That could be. I guess NyQuil does that too, as I've told you before. Aspirin might do that. A little bit of orange juice might do that. And so we see, if we read the notice to us, we see there is nothing actually certain that might help. Lots of things could help symptoms. And this story particularly identifies the story I got from the wiki on Cryptococcus is itraconazole. It's the theme through these links that you'll find, which is an antifungal that is apparently helping in SARS-CoV-2. Completely impossible, but this is what they've talked to us about, showing that we're not dealing with, if it was anything, this was anything, we're not dealing with what they're telling us and how to deal with it. In a way, they're giving us license to continue to be non-dependent on them and find our own way because they don't know. What they're doing is promoting the profiteer. And more importantly, the control, the leash around everyone's neck, the so-called health leash. And I found another story here, old vaccine, as we move through, all these things now cure this, if you will, as we go through. It's not doing anything of the sort, I don't think. I think it's a chemical disassociation of the active ingredients of this synthetic thing. Or it does the same thing to whatever a virus is, but inhibits possibly your bodily functions, actually, in your immune response. That's partly you suppress your immune response, and you're going to suppress those diseases, the symptoms. That can be dangerous if you do it improperly. Old vaccine for tuberculosis may help protect older people against COVID-19. What did I tell you before? I brought this up. If you go read the scenario that they promote to us, the narrative for tuberculosis fits exactly what they were telling us early through continuously relative to the transmission and all this other nonsense and what stops it was tuberculosis. And I told you in one broadcast, I said they've taken the tuberculosis narrative and they've just applied it to these symptoms. And now we see that there's an old vaccine for tuberculosis that may help protect older people against COVID-19. And so we're seeing it's not being any clearer, but because it's getting muddier in the same way, you've been watching the same pollution coming in, the same toxic view coming to bear in your glass. It's all in there and it's all fraud and it's only going to get darker and there's not going to be a differentiation. Anybody can claim about anything about this. And you know that there's scammers everywhere about they're going to decide to, they've got the view and they're going to promote to you what they want to sell you. And if you're tied in with the government, you see the extremities of the pinnacle of that exploitation against us. And so they invent all these things and they show you now that there's all kinds of things that may help. That's not even a help. I'm sitting to say, just reinvigorate your immune system. Find out what's in your body that's not functioning quite right. If you have symptoms somewhere, how that's having some outward effect for you, could be innumerable things. whether that's like a lot of people have diabetes or diabetes. You have shortness of breath. You have allergies. You have all kinds of stuff. You have to get to the root cause of that. You can kind of cover it up to make yourself feel better, but you have to get to the root cause of that. That is going to be your getting rid of any immunodeficiency, any immunocompromising condition is likely going to be your best benefit and has always been, irrespective of what they want to label sneezy, coughing, stuffy head medicine stuff. And I don't want to diminish the flu kills people every year. The flu, I think, if I saw something, 500,000 people a year die from influenza. This is no joke. And any of us have gotten the flu, we wish we died a couple times. And yet, we're here. But something's got to take us out somewhere at some time. And so that's nature as well, but not the way they have it set up to do what? Control us. They want to get us into that technocratic future, that totalitarianism, the ideism. And here we hear it, folks, as I've been telling you for years. I don't know what else. I mean, I just shrug my shoulders. People would argue with me about this crypto stuff. Well, we got cryptococcus that we could be a fungal disease. Well, we got another fungus inside the system, public-private partnershiping, where we now see the news, U.S. states to adopt Apple digital ID driver's license. Do I need to read more about relative to anybody who's listened to me and this digital, this world, this phone that's going to be, it is the weapon against you. It is the track and trace. It is the proximity detector. It is the ID. It is going to be how you will live in the future or else, unless you establish now your alternatives to it. And just say no and have the foundation for that no in your hip pocket. And your answer isn't all you know. Your answer is to point out they didn't demonstrate. They didn't demonstrate, folks, the exigent circumstance allowing their jurisdiction to have power and authority. The power to give them authority. This is not an argument. This is a burden on the one who's making the imposition. And all you have to do is understand where that line is and show them where the line is and say they haven't crossed it yet. And then if you're really sharp about it, you show them how they can't cross it. And I say it that way because of the document that I had to look over. And it occurred to me looking at how this thing works out. They can't come across it. You just have to know how that's the truth. And it doesn't take a lot of words to say this. The document I looked at was like over 4 pages. It was supposed to be an affidavit. You can't bury a so-called exception, a religious or a conscientious objection under 4 pages. You just got to stick it on 1 page. But there's things you can do. You don't have to do the state's version. You can do the one that asserts your rights and gives you protection. That's how I do it. Or at least I perceive I do, and it's all black and white backed up, so I don't know what else to say that it's not an opinion that I'm doing this. It's there to be done. So here we have it. Apple computer digital ID. Public-private partnership. Your information's going through a third party. I told you this was going to be the way this thing works. Now, I don't know what you're going to do if you don't have an iPhone here. Now, I suppose that in the recent technology, iPhone actually works on the Unix system, its origin, so I think they can do the jump over. But Apple computer now has third-party access to your data through the states. Now, in a way, that's not such a big deal because some of you in your states, you have your local prison population actually accessing the database of the DMV to talk to you when you have a DMV problem, if you didn't know about that. And so, I don't know, we've been taken down, if you think that there was some sanctity in the government about your information and handing it to criminals, well, that was a long time ago done away with. So we have it here again now, but it's under the cover of public-private partnershiping, where a digital monstrosity, I can't remember, it used to be the richest corporation in the world, now has access to databases from Arizona, Connecticut, Georgia, Iowa, Kentucky, Maryland, Oklahoma, and Utah. kind of wish I did, but I don't. Like, I wish I was more of a comedian, but I'm not. Apple also works with the Transportation Security Administration to equip some security checkpoints at selected airports with touchless capability to read the process digital IDs on iPhones or Apple Watch. When we talk about health, your health document, your all that Internet of Things digital services they're offering, all tied in, folks. If you don't think this has been going on, they didn't do this yesterday. But all the deniers, here it is. You want to know about going through your phone, and you want to know how pivotal it's going to be, and we're all going to get weird. Those of you with an iPhone will be given, and eventually the Android. I guess Google got one up here, or is integrating something on the other side. You're going to be going through your own little code, your UPC code for yourself. And you're going to show that. And the TSA, they say, is going to be able to see that, but they're not going to get any of your information. But you'll have a verification process that goes through that. And without that, you don't go far. Once verified by the issuing state, the customer's ID or driver's license will be added to Wallet. Capital W, not the wallet, but to Wallet. Capital W Wallet. There's your wallet, folks. What's in your wallet, folks? You've been told all this for decades. What's in your wallet, folks, besides your ID? This is really, I almost want to just laugh and give up. Just stop, because there's no reflection in us on wanting to stop this. And yet I will continue. I don't know what to say. Maybe I'm just a fool. The large fool's errand in my life. Hoping beyond hope we were better than we were. I still have the optimism that we are. Just please, not being crickets. And in mass, we can do this. Looking at the exceptions for the religion, I just looked at, wow, not only is there no place for this exception, but it shows that they're doing it wrong. It's three steps back for them, as I see this, that no one wants to step into. Understand just a little bit, and you get a world of knowledge to apply. It seems nobody understands. I don't understand that. So here you are, your digital wallet through Apple and the TSA. What does that come from? 9/11, right? You're all terrorists anyway. Your track and trace isn't because of the injection. It's because you're a terrorist. Your government presumed you'd be a terrorist. Totally wrong, and no one stepped up. So now we see here, Operation Hindsight 2020. We're now going into 2022, and you did nothing. They got it right up to where they got this wallet for you, your blockchain, folks. Social credit cannot be on the other side of that. Cannot not be on the other side of that. And I want to remind you about these wallets or these systems, blockchain systems. And this was a story a long time ago. Just bring it back up. We'll see a couple of these. I could go on and on and on about all these things we'd ever hardly hear about. But $600 million gone. The biggest crypto theft in history. You can read about it. I'm not going to say any more. They hacked a system. They hacked a website that had the information. They hacked the database. And someone stole out the $600 million. I think they actually had to make a deal with it. The guy going to give back some of it. How that works, I don't know. Honor among thieves? But your crypto is gone. And it's gone. They told it, what, South Park? Did South Park do that? I don't know. I'm not that integrated. Moving on, new story breaking just now. NSA backdoor. Snowjob Snowden told us all about this. I told you this was going to be how it comes through when I saw it. Again, I don't know this. I'm not that integrated to know ahead of time. I've told you technologically I know there's backdoors. There is just simple physical hardware problems that we knew were there. We couldn't solve them in the process of making hardware, the chips. That I knew, it wasn't really considered backdoors. It was these things that just happened in the science, in the material science, in the logic, in the knowledge. Some of those things have probably been fixed, but there was always going to be ways for someone. Little evil monkeys can hack this stuff. I don't care how diligent you are to try and make them perfect. But NASA NSA backdoor, that's actually a plan, NSA backdoor in Juniper firewall exploited by China. If you think that Apple and the TSA have got it safe for you and your future crypto, whatever, and your wallet, what's in your wallet, folks? It might be China using an NSA backdoor. The Juniper product was targeted. A popular firewall device called NetScreen included an algorithm written by the National Security Agency. Security researchers have suggested that the algorithm contained an intentional flaw, otherwise known as a backdoor, the American spies could have used to eavesdrop on the communications of Juniper's overseas customers. NSA declined to address allegations about the algorithm. No, I won't have to say more. That's, they show you overseas. That would be through the PATROT Act, but you are all considered to be overseas when you communicate there, and the internet goes everywhere. It goes all over the globe, especially with you folks with the VPNs and or communication devices, and they love those oral, those audio communication devices. But here we have the National Security Agency building in a backdoor that China exploited, and I told you that was going to be the case when Snowjob Snowden came and told us all this. It essentially opened the gates of hell upon us because nobody could actually be identified, and I'm surprised they could show China unless China said we could do this. Because NSA also had the capacity, they told us, and I don't know all these project names, but you can research them. They can put any digital ID on anybody. They can look to make themselves look like anyone. It's just digits. When you go deep enough into the hardware, you can program anything. So, Apple Wallet, subject to this? You think Juniper Firewall is the only one? The only one known right here? How about the unknowns? How about the exploitations to come? That's your future technocratic world they want to claim as utopia. Essentially, it's hell on earth. And you can be crickets and allow it. You can suffer the mange. We must have a virulent mutant coming from cats and dogs to the crickets. And so where is this technology, this TSA hunts you down technology they deny is going to be due, that's hackable? Foreign countries come in and make a mess of things as well. How about your own country? Your own country, the government of district with their NSA doing that to the people of the United States of America. And I'm saying this advisedly. When you go read the historic documents, I don't even know if I can say United States of America. We tend to do that because that seems to be a better sounding name. But when you go look and see what that name is, it's tied to a servitude. It's tied to someone's possessing. And the United States, they define here as the district, was actually the colonial states. And so there's a big adjustment that's going to have to be made in people's awareness. In the meantime, they're getting us into that track and trace and keeping up, and TSA and Apple's going to be in your life, going to know everything about you. Oh, they're going to profess being benevolent. And then we find this type of thing, flying drone to automatically check holiday maker's temperature on Italian beach in case of COVID and other emergencies. Well, that sounds like an act of Congress and for other purposes. Open-ended tyranny, and people don't recognize it. Flying a drone to automatically check holiday maker's temperatures over symptoms, folks. Italian official want a drone to fly around and measure the temperature of people relaxing on a beach near Rome in order to track COVID-19 and prevent health emergencies. How are they going to do that? I'd like to understand. I really don't understand this. How they're going to do this. I'm sitting in the sun. I'm being baked in the sun because I want the vitamin D, and I'm going to be turning dark because I'm sizzling myself. I'm over the temp. My skin's over the temperature because of that. And I'm going to have a drone at 75 feet with all the noise and all the intrusion in my calm, quiet, listening to the ocean time. This drone's going to be over looking at my heated skin, and it's supposed to differentiate between flu-like symptoms and the sun. Is your future. They don't care about putting drones in your face around you. You are being treated worse than cattle. And it's all under the pretense of symptoms, that anything you get from the environment that your body responds to will throw out that they are going to be looking for. And how do they prevent health emergencies? See, their authority is on a case-by-case basis. They'd have to have some knowledge about you, and this is anticipating what Apple Health devices are going to be doing relative to your wallet and what's in it. And so let's move in a little bit. The things the government should be controlling that they don't, that cause, exasperate these problems, these symptoms. It came out a few weeks ago. I'm getting to it a little bit late. But here's, we got this drone in Italy wanting to take your temperature from 75 feet away, whatever it was. Like, you want to hear that all afternoon. I can't get people even putting up with this. But anyway, what are they taking but symptoms? COVID-19 symptoms. Fever. That's the only one. Fever. How many things that we said? The fungal infection will be that, but it's not on the list, the communicable disease list, is it? And so they don't even have jurisdiction to be doing this to people. Again, they've caused you to be guilty. Now, maybe in Italy they get to do that. In the United States, that's not so true. Whether or not people want to agree with that or understand it or don't enjoy it is totally not what I'm talking about. That's up to you to stop, us to stop that. Because the black and white's there to stop it. But so they have a problem. We heard that the fire isn't limited to the United States, so I'm going to go here now. But fire, we're now finding out, causes COVID. So how does this drone and this technology, this remote technology, able to differentiate the symptoms and the cause? By the cause. Isn't talked about here. But in the United States, and I think it's wherever the rule of law and democracy brand of injustice exists, you will find black and white that they were supposed to honor before you get there, before they ask you the first question, that they were supposed to honor that was going to put the due process out first upon the government official to require them to identify the actual cause, not make it up by that you were having sneezing fits. That we have now smoke pollution, and understand the combining of the problem here, because this also underpins climate change when they get there. As I told you, what Greta didn't get done, COVID-19 is going to do. And look at what they've done with that. Look at what they've done to cause your life to go into austerity and interfere with your financial, economic, monetary world. As we heard last week, or from last 2 months ago, IMF said, yeah, this vaccine policy is actually should prevail over monetary and fiscal policy. Should be all you need to hear. But smoke pollution. Well, now we're in pollution. This is where they start to conflate things. Pollution from wildfires ravaging through the western part of the U.S. Likely is an interesting problem. I hope you pick these little hesitations up. Likely caused, because the statutes are, why do I even mention this all the time? Because the statutes are definitive of finding a particular thing, not likely a thing, not possibly a thing, is to demonstrate the thing. What do I say? Demonstrate the exigency. And now we have to add, to put the burden properly, demonstrate, the official has to demonstrate a non-fraudulent exigency. And that's the clause that you're going to add in front of everything you do. It's just a few words. It's not the magic statement. It's a burden-flipping proof and identifying what is supposed to come back to you. It's what I've been telling you the whole time, but all this time having to deal with it, it finally distills out to what really starts to go on here. Whether or not they're a criminal, you do it. Smoke pollution from wildfires likely has caused an increase in COVID-19 cases and deaths in several states, according to a new study. I don't know how much more I want to talk about this. They talk about coronavirus infections. That's not COVID-19. Because what the SARS-CoV-2 is a synthetic data stream. Okay, so all when you see these chemicals stopping flu-like symptoms, they're not stopping a data stream. But pollution from wildfires, they're talking likely increased COVID-19. Apparently, they didn't come through where the fires were been going for the last 10 years under prescription burning during the summer that the Forest Service does and the BLM does and these nonprofit organizations do, so-called ecologists, these environmentalists. When you go into those areas during the summertime, 4 months, it looks like fog for 4 to 6 months. People are going into the hospital with respiratory problems and dying all the time. I guess they didn't go look before. But those same people are going in with flu-like symptoms before they put a label COVID-19 on it, was not addressed by this study. It is a crime that they try and tie it together. And that the media continues to promote it, and that we don't take notice of it enough to do something about it. Another story. U.S. wildfires, pollution leaked to COVID-19 cases and deaths. Again, smoke. And as heavy as the government causes by prescription burning. Or by improper forest management, so they can't get in and do it correctly and properly. And I've talked about this for years. Been involved in it for years. Was instrumental in starting the process of getting the local governments to stop prescription burning because the wildfire land policy, the federal government was saying they had control over, by its terms says the counties have the power. I've been instrumental in helping through this. It's not something that I don't know about. It's why we did it years ago. I worked for probably 5-6 years to finally get a couple of commissioners, and one, they didn't even know they were doing it. They just did it because it sounded like a good idea to do something correctly underneath the power the county has to protect you. And so now today we get, it's likely caused an increase in COVID-19. Well, if it's the difficulty to breathe and people dying, that was happening at an alarming rate. In fact, it got so bad it could not be ignored when we came at the right time to say, here's how you stop it. And this was all the right timing thing, because, like I said, you got to keep biding your time sometimes. The human monkeys are really stubborn. They're not willing to take the obvious, like I try to do here behind a woodshed and say, it's actually pretty simple. We would just all get together and do the black and white. Put that burden back over there, and when they don't respond, they're a criminal pretty quick. Now it's a matter of, we got a different problem. What you're watching is tyranny, you're watching dictatorship, you're watching what was never the organic establishment, and the people who had the responsibility to check that for themselves could care less, in large part. So wildfires linked to an increase of COVID cases. Now, how about if we just take the COVID out of it, and I'm going to tell you there was increased death and harm and lung problems and people with allergies. Just it blows up. It blows up bigger than the fire. People dying during this stuff. All without COVID. And it irritates me at one level because I also see here it undermines the things that need to be done. Because if it's COVID, then it's nothing we can do on the ground. No, we can't force the Forest Service to manage its lands better or the BLM to harvest better. No, because they don't want to harvest. They want to burn you out of your place. What do I hear? Paradise burnt again? Tahoe is burning? Then there's no law allowing it. There's obligations against it. And we say crickets to them. I say we generally. Some of us are doing something or trying. And what is this COVID? How do you count it? How did they work out when it would happen? When, whether or not fires is likely to cause more COVID-19? Trust science? CDC counts people dying within 14 days of a jab as unvaccinated. And this is the epidemiological problem. This is where data isn't evidence. It's just data. You're welcome, Circle. Thank you for acknowledging that. People who have had a jab are not considered to be vaccinated after 14 days. Can't be a rational data class. That 14 days after, within 14 days after, you're considered unvaccinated when we know that people die within 3 days is part of the exposure of how they're cooking the books that can't be put into that wildfire that likely says COVID's being surging because of helped by wildfire pollution. They're mutually exclusive and one doesn't exist. It's the entirety of a fraud that you hear how they are showing you how they cook the books. You get jabbed, and you're not considered vaccinated, even though they stuck something in your arm, toxins in your arm, you're not considered jabbed until 14 days later. Can't be science. Can't be truth. Can't be other than fraud. And they're explaining how the fraud works and how it's been working. Now, we've known it. They keep adjusting the goalposts on what definitions are to the point that injecting you with toxins that do not prevent a thing, that actually cause a thing, has now been labeled a vaccine. It's fascinating to me how they've done this. And they've been doing this incrementalist type of work and terminological corruption for decades. If legalism wasn't tough enough, this was legalism on steroids, as I've identified for years and over a decade now by the broadcast. Longer before that, because I just didn't come to broadcasting and all of a sudden have this knowledge. And one of the things that caught my eye here, and I couldn't qualify it because of the fire, because I'm still looking for this. What's going on here? Oregon County asked for morgue truck as COVID fatalities rise. Again, so COVID, and they're blaming now the Delta variant. Now, we know that Delta variant is caused by the injections. It didn't exist until after. And interestingly, the wildfire pollution is now here, relating, again, as the news kind of keeps things together, noting that the COVID Delta variant is spreading like wildfire among the unvaccinated in our community. Well, if the unvaccinated is spreading like wildfire, is unvaccinated, and they deem 14 days to not be vaccinated, and everything's happening within 14 days to these people, well, maybe that statement's true-ish. It's not the truth, as defined it might be, but in reality, it's a fraud. It's a deception. Spreading like wildfire. And then they blame the unvaccinated, which cannot be known up front before assessment to be a cause. Why? Because we're going to hear there's susceptibility, transmissibility problems. You may have actually already gotten it, and you will not pass it on. And it will be a stronger resistance than anything the drug manufacturers can do, which I think is what they're attempting to destroy in you. Again, the medical, so-called medical profession's leash on you. And the Apple company's ability to track and trace and give you health appliances to carry around with you. The Internet of Things. We're going to find out if I ever get to it. It's a battlefield of weapons and sensors that they have already defined to be such, all this stuff, as I've been telling you. And not to leave Grimner out of it. Again, hope you're making incremental improvements here. But the grim, we can't, Grimner's here. Grim news. It's the grim news here of COVID-19 hospitalizations prompts governor to send in the National Guard. As they were telling they would do, as they promised they would do, it starts to happen in Oregon. Governor Kate Brown spoke with members of the Oregon National Guard in January 2021 when they were deployed to help COVID-19. She's now deployed over 1,500 members down into southern and central Oregon That seems to be the hotbed of hesitancy as well, interestingly. But I had another idea, and I'll be able to prove this out to you because it did turn up. They also then brought in, at the same time, the Protect 560 out-of-state nurses. I call them foreign nurses. A friend of mine didn't like it. He thought it was foreigners. To me, they're foreign. Their contract. And then I did an EB3 study, and it looks like these companies, it's a very large contract company for bringing in nurses, heavily relies on foreign nurses as part of its program. So I hadn't get that proven, but I did find out that they are a large company that does use international nurses. And then I said that means that in Southern Oregon, there must be a bunch of resistance in the nurses and the professionals in order against this mandated vaccine. So they brought in the National Guard to protect the 560. They said they were non-medical capacities, this National Guard. What do you need the National Guard for except for Operation Warp Speed? And it's a military operation, folks. To protect who? Foreigners? To do what? Care for your mistreatment. Why? Because the nurses here, as I thought, hypothesized, if it's that, were not getting the vaccine, and they had a problem. And this was the governor's response, this criminal in office, this parasitic predator, to bring in 560 out-of-state medical workers who obviously would be jabbed, obviously be spreaders, obviously doing the protocols that are harmful to people. Why? Because it makes them money. It's all in the bribe. Don't ever forget that. And they've got to cover for that as well. Got to make it look like they're doing something. And then I ran across, interestingly, on my hypothesis, I went tracking down. It actually didn't take too long to find. Oregon, right before that happened, to show you how diabolical this condition is and why we have to get ahead of it and an understanding of what the battlefield is. Oregon nurses issue warning over Governor Brown's vaccine mandates. It turns out that the Oregon Nurses Association issued a response and said that they were not going to allow that. Right after that, Governor Brown brings in foreign nurses from out of state, from a large contract, actually contracted with two companies to bring in help into the hospitals, because it seemed, as I thought, they are going to be getting rid and tearing into, gutting your health infrastructure through discrimination, unwarranted as it is and fraudulent as it is. This is the governor's response, to bring in outsiders, because the problem is the nurses aren't going to get the vaccine. And that's part of what? That's part of the international vaccine policy that is more powerful than monetary or fiscal policy as declared by the IMF chief. Remember? So, this is a collusion, international collusion, subversion of your way of life. And I was able to get to the point pretty quickly when I saw that they were replacing nurses. I said, well, that means those nurses are not going to be there. And here it is. Just of days before the governor does what she does, nurses say, we're not taking that jab. Now, do I stop here just a moment? Okay, I'm going to go ahead. And because of partly of this, but I don't know because of the news, but there was, and I'm not savvy to lots of things, but I was called to look over this document, I was told, because there's apparently a gob and a bunch of nurses and healthcare workers that will not take this vaccine as mandated. And now they're scrambling to find out what do they do in their relative professions to use the medical exemptions available under law. And I was asked to preview or overlook a document that was said to be an affidavit. And they did a lot of research. I can't condemn the affidavit, but the affidavit was not an affidavit. It should have been actually some of the foundation they should have put in their back pocket. And maybe I'll explain quickly here a bit. I can't give you the text of it. I can only, because it's in progress of being worked on. It's almost done. It may have already been presented to, and this is the shock to me, it appears to be that there may be upwards of 3,000 healthcare workers that are looking to do medical exemptions on a document I was handed that really wasn't going to do what it's going to do. Now, we're fixing that. So we are going to help that. I don't know if it fixes anything in face of a corruption. I really have to talk guarded here. There's no actual form because it's on a case-by-case basis. But let me just do a preliminary discussion with you here. Interestingly, consistent with this story, I'm asked to look at a document, apparently thousands of nurses who want to do medical exemptions that are offered under law. And they're there. And so I want to tell you that because those of you, and now that I've read the law for what's available in Oregon, and I took that from the study of the four pages of study, I went and I found the statute and the rules that spoke exactly to this, what they call an exception in Oregon. The government calls it an exception. Don't use the state's form. The state's form is a request for it. But when you go to the statutes, the legislature never made a provision that it could be a question. And this is where you got to be careful on how you analyze this and to do it correctly. I haven't looked at all. Every state law that offers an exemption, you need to read very carefully. And you're going to find out you have one. Your religious, conscientious objection, and philosophical, I suppose, it might be conscientious. I can't remember that there's a couple available. Read them very carefully. Go to the black and white, copy and paste the black and white. That's the code, not the agency's treatment of it, but the legislature's command to the agency to fulfill. And you're going to find out they can't even do what they're asking, actually, in the administrative side. More importantly, they can't get the jurisdiction to even require you to do anything. And worse, because this thing is not being done through the communicable disease statute, it's done completely outside of that realm. There's never that first medical report. That would be where the one who had the medical report and the notice from the public health official saying, we believe by this assessment you have a communicable disease that we need to keep you from infecting the rest, and here's what we think the plan should be, offering you the due process to respond, would be where you bring this exemption if one of the things they said violated your religious beliefs. After the report and the assessment, this thing is being so misapplied, there isn't even a place to put an exemption from anybody outside of, at least in this one state, Oregon, outside of health facilities or teaching. Therefore, in other words, if you looked at the statute and the agency, the health agency says, we only have provision for health care workers or teachers to provide an exception, they call it exception. There isn't any provision for any other employer to receive. And then they say they have to give it to the employer. This thing is so screwed up, S-C-R-O-O-D, that it isn't even applied correctly and shows you by the lack of ability of anybody working, at least in that state, to put an exception in handing it to the employer. As I told you, the employers are odd man out being brought in as if they have a jurisdiction to have a say. This is only supposed to be going on a case-by-case basis. You wouldn't even be going into your business to work if this was done correctly for the employer to be concerned. And if you did and you were contagious, they have a way to deal with you. The employer's not concerned either at that point, other than the risk to the rest of the employees. You get the power. If you are communicable principle, they have the power to move you over to a place that you can't do anything. The employer's never involved. And so look at your laws very carefully. And then I will say, you don't fear your job if you believe you can fit an exception. If you go read the black and white, when you bring the exception, not as a question, as an assertion of your right, because in the state I was reading, there was no provision for a question to be made. Once it's asserted, that's done. The way it's supposed to work is they then go look for the remaining tools in their toolbox for prevention. They just can't use vaccine, and they can't use, let's say, mask, or whatever else becomes a religious breach or a conscientious objection breach. Now, I just said something. Did you understand what I said? It means that when you put a religious objection, it doesn't mean they don't have power to stop a communicable disease or prevent it. They just don't have those things available to them to do as mitigation measures, which would violate you in your religious beliefs or your beliefs of through conscientious objection. And they could be together. So that's what I want to say there. The Oregon nurses don't have to not get their jobs. There's a specific exception they can do, but I would say you have a more powerful position. Why? Because as an employee that isn't underneath the power of the public health official, pursuant to a jurisdiction invoked by a medical report, you have the power to put back on them this, I guess, generic phrase to start with for y'all just to hear it, that if you can demonstrate the communicable disease cause, then I'm going to do this. In other words, you just set up in the first clause, they haven't presented you with a demonstrable exigence underneath a communicable disease to be able to say anything. And until they do, they're actually violating your rights. And I say that with a little bit of hesitancy because you have to go back to your employer-employee relationship documentation and see what their provisions are relative to that. Like I said, I think it is in an at-will state, they can fire you for no reason, but they can't fire you for a fraudulent reason. And if you're on your way out anyway, you better make your record so you can maybe at least get what's coming to you on that violation, or set your record up so you can get yourself, if the state doesn't offer it, because they probably won't, you're going to be able to do it in a collateral attack against them. You're not helpless. But I would offer this to say, after I read the communicable disease, the exception statutes, not even called exceptions there, but anyway, what most people understand as a religious exception or a conscientious objection exemption, that you shouldn't fear your job. And what I would took before, what ends up being, I took the 4-page document, actually I set it aside, I pulled out the code they used, I went back to the code and actually did the copy and paste, and it becomes a 1-page document as an exception, as a affidavit should be, with the notary on it. But it has a whole ton more than what the state will offer you. It's not a request. It's an assertion. And it comes with protections. And then it comes as an assertion of with protections that was premature and becomes an irreparable harm to you. If you understand what I've been telling you, and you likely may not, but if you understand what I've been telling you about the way the jurisdiction starts, and they've already, it's like the minors, it's all identical. They come and they beat on a minor for doing what he was supposed to do. It is a crime. They come to you in innocence where you're not an infectious principal, or they have no real probable cause or evidence, or even suspicion. It is a violation to you. It's a trespass to you. So I just talked about the corruption of blood earlier in the broadcast, which doesn't include this, but I'm going to bring this in a little bit right here. It's not even a conscientious objection. The order to get a vaccine is a corruption of blood, prohibited by your Constitution. If I had nothing else to know than that, I can tell you that after I read what I read, you could assert that. Is it going to matter to a criminal? No, it's not. But at least you're now defending yourself with not an opinion, giving over in the silence of your presentation of the law and their lack of jurisdiction, that it's assumed that they have it, presumed that they have it, like the courts are doing to harm y'all. So anyway, it was predictable that there's Oregon nurses that don't want to get the jab. Coincidentally, after I put this all together to talk to you about it, I was asked to look at a document that said it was an affidavit. It was not an affidavit. It's what people do. They don't really pay attention to what they need to do. And it was much simpler to go at it, but because of the way I'm able to interpret what I read and apply it now, not just the knowledge, but to apply it. And the comprehensive, I don't know what it all is, the remedies and relief and the defenses that we have, if you will, that become offenses if you do it when you're innocent. They're an offensive move against what the government wants to do. They're offending the criminal. And it still only fit in a piece of paper, in one page, with the notary section, the notarial. And I don't get all fancy. It's really just copy and paste, dropping concepts in a little clause. They're clauses. They're state, four or five word statements of separated by commas that are concepts in law that are in positions of burdens that were supposed to be done that didn't. And then they impose you to file this thing that has no place in the law. It's fascinating to see what we do. Instead of just saying you haven't established jurisdiction for me to even respond to you, which my clause addition to this whole thing, as I explained to it, does. We go ahead and try to fabricate a defense. We talk on and on and on about, we try to explain our religious objection. We try to, the state would have you profess your faith to them. That's a religious test of a witness, if you knew that. And that got interjected inside to the affidavit, I believe, needs to be done. You're a witness to the crime against you. And then they want you to do a religious test? Are you kidding me? Yes, a criminal will. A predatory psychopath might. And will, likely. And so do you allow that tick on you to suck your life's blood, or do you come up with the answers succinctly and short and compact and powerful? And I can only say that because I wanted, I needed to get feedback. I come up with this stuff that on response. I really work better when someone brings me a particular thing to respond to. And it was a quick turnaround issue. Over, I understand, maybe up to 3,000 people need help now. And when I presented what I thought, even the first draft, it was completely understood and embraced as, well, it was told to me it was a kick-ass affidavit. Now, I don't know about kick-ass because it needs to be lawfully sufficient, but it was understood the principles that were brought forward clearly and concisely address the very things this government and these officials and these employers are doing wrong. And that's why I've been trying to convey we have the power on us, the people. We don't have to go through the lineage of why before we should be saying how someone has the jurisdiction. It's not for you to answer. It's for them to avoid the trespass they've done. So that's a discussion. I hope it wasn't so esoteric without more dialogue on what the words are. I can only tell you and telegraph to you, those that have jobs, if you're in a state that has even whatever they call it, an exception or exception or whatever, go read the black and white the legislature has said to happen, and understand when that happens, it's over. This state says once you assert this phrase, the magic phrase, it, tied to the religious conviction that the Constitution does not allow the government to intrude upon, the health official has zero jurisdiction over those things that cause the violation to that jurisdiction, which is your religious belief, your religious conviction. I don't think they're belief. You got to remove the belief thing. It's a conviction. You're convicted like a criminal, is it, in your faith? Now, we did have a discussion with my colleague about this. What about atheists who don't believe? We weren't talking about God. Well, atheism is a religion. But I had to say at some point, because it becomes too convoluted for people, we're going to let the atheist take care of himself right now while we go ahead and assert. If the atheist can't use the conscientious objection, and they can't identify that their atheism is a religion to be able to bring them back into the assertion, I don't know. I can't discuss that on a document. That would have to be addressed again on a case-by-case basis. The point was, we're offering what appears to be a much better affidavit to invoke the exemption or the restriction on government for certain care. Understand that. It's not all care. It's certain care. And then doing it much more appropriately with built-in defenses and relief, and essentially, as soon as they don't answer correctly to demonstrate, they are in breach. They have now caused the problem. And for those of you that want to talk about coming in honor, that's what this style affidavit does. It says, you've required under threat that I do something, I'm doing it, that's a violation, but here, I'm anticipating you can demonstrate. But we know in law, if they don't, they have no jurisdiction. And that perfects the harm up front, the irreparable harm that's causing you to have to answer. But the interesting problem here, and the real serious problem, really more, there's no provision for anybody to actually apply anything to an employer. Did you hear what I said, folks? Look at your document. The state will say in their documents, you have to give their document this exception to an employer. There's no provision for that anywhere. Why? It's only because they're misapplying and violated the law to make this attached to everyone statewide when it was only supposed to be on those that were infectious principals. Again, self-evidently proving this is all being done wrong. Now, I hope you're following what I'm saying. It's pretty straightforward here. This is all the knowledge I'm telling you right now goes in your hip pocket. What you do out forward is really your application of what you can back up. That's the information in your hip pocket, what I'm telling you here. You don't wax eloquent about all this stuff. You just do the documentation that speaks directly to those derelictions, irreparable harm they cause, and then flips the burden for them to go ahead after the fact of the harm and demonstrate anyway. Because why? We don't know what we don't know. Let's give them one opportunity after they've even slapped us in the face or beat us up before the jab in the arm, before they mask us, to give them one opportunity to do honor on their side. Do what the limited government form was required to do, even though we don't enjoy it because we're crickets right now. Now, I don't know where this is going to go. But I do want to say I had some sort of calm because I've had lots of people come to me about their jobs, and I didn't really address it then. After seeing the black and white code and after seeing how this works, those of you that can take even in it, whatever word you want to use it in your state, exemption, exception, whatever, not as the state would allow it, do not feel at this point your job is on the line. That's a big stress. I guess that's what I felt. I'm feeling you're all stressed because of that. And if you don't get your exemption, stop it. The black and white does not provide for a get thing. It's what you assert. And what it does is limit certain preventative measures. They shouldn't be able, and I say shouldn't because we can have criminals, they shouldn't be able to have a basis, a lawful basis, to threaten your jobs. You shouldn't be afraid of losing them. Nothing was guaranteed anyway, especially in at-will states. But in this regard, maybe tone down. If you don't see your ignorance about what's there, maybe what's helping to foster the stress relative to a particular thing called this fraud called COVID. And if you understand what I just said, I didn't go along talking about, oh, the fraud of COVID or this or that or PCR test. I said nothing. I said the black and white requires that when you say this and you assert it as an proper affidavit, not 4 pages of nonsense and stuff that you should maybe knowledge in your back pocket, but the proper affidavit, once you assert that under the statute, that's enough. Now you wait. You wait to see if they properly handle that. And when they don't, you come right back with the violation. When they do, they're likely, if they were smart and they were honorable, they'd say, we're sorry. We didn't mean to impose. They'll read the document and they would say, we're sorry, we didn't mean to impose upon you before necessary. And you could just take it right there. That could be ending it right there. This doesn't even have to get real wild. If we were honest amongst ourselves as people, the administrators, the hospital, the government, us amongst ourselves, it's really an interesting thing to watch how the fact that the law has not been followed, the black and white has not been followed, causes so much alarm in the public and strife and wrong action and causes us to stand up in defense of ourselves and we just do what we think we need to do and we even act out incorrectly. I know, that's my perception. I know, I took a 4-page document, moved most of it aside, grabbed and high-graded the black and white, stuck it in my document and then built up something else that instead of 4 pages fits on 1 page. Yes, okay, I take a little bit of authority about that. And being able to do that, and it's untested, but it answers the black and white, is all I can say. And it resets what was supposed to happen. To do that, you have to read those statutes I told you to understand how this works. You have to understand the steps that were supposed to be done. A lot of people don't want to do that, but that's really just you wanting to be a slave, I think, in some part, and you think that you're la, 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 I'm not going to do it, they're not going to come and do me anything, but what does it matter? You've essentially just given that up in yourself. And it appears that everything's fine, because no one's knocking on your door, or you don't have a job, or the job you have may luckily not require all that. That would be great for all y'all. Anybody's in that kind of a job and you don't have that worry. Fantastic. But again, this thing's not going away. They're gutting our healthcare facilities and the people that live around you, all the nurses. I didn't realize it was so many number. I guess that's what impressed me. I was shocked. Thousands and thousands of people actually want to do something, but they don't know what to do. And the problem why I was asked is because there's a couple of people that are like leading the herd, and it was like leading the herd over the precipice is what I saw. It was like a guru was taking charge of this. And I said, wait a minute, now the thing that they're doing, they've actually given over a lot of authority in these four pages as well. That's not proper. And so this all comes down to each one of you knowing that by reading what I've been suggesting that you read. And you don't get in because of the way they did it wrong. You don't get into something like this, and I'll move right back to the tabs. Japan suspends use of 1.63 million Moderna vaccines over contamination fears. Now, what's interesting about this story, and I'll move on, the government of Japan stops the Moderna for contamination. They don't explain what the contamination is. And that contamination may very well be one of the ingredients itself. And I would think it would be that novel lipid, though I can't tell. Why would a country suspend one of the vaccines? See, they're doing this, remember, it's the epidemiological statistical thing. They're not doing something in reality as far as did it work or not. No, it's starting, possibly Moderna's causing more trouble that they're able to identify they can't justify. The risk is becoming, what's the risk? That they get found out. And you become the backlash. That you actually go to the black and white and say, wait a minute, I'm cool, I'm covered, I get to assert this right here, and I don't have to really explain myself. Why? Because I do know what the Constitution says. I do know what they were limited government was. I do know that they can't make a religious test for a witness. I'm my own witness. And the document is the other witness. And the reality is the word, the beginning witness of it all. I only needed two witnesses to make a fact. I hear lots of people talking about this, but it's all talk. It's time we stood up and brought to bear our power. So Japan suspends Moderna because of contamination. They don't explain it. But this is a kind of a ongoing thing where these vaccines are toxins to begin with. They're chemical weapons. I've been looking very carefully for all these, this year and a half or now maybe two going on, closely to two. I cannot see it's not a chemical weapon. As I've been telling you, why chemistry, looking at it through chemistry, starts to answer why, what, an antifungal versus an antiparasitic could work. When you find out one of the antiparasitic actually is like a chelator, it disassembles molecules, certain molecules. But here we move on that these vaccines, not only they're contaminated, but they're not doing what they should do. We've like lost, even if we went into vaccine works and this kind of thing, we are told before COVID, influenza is a guess. Every year, they take their bean counters to figure out what is the variant that's coming up that they have to start making the vaccine 6 months before they're going to be here, and they guess that the shot is going to be the variant that they thought it was. Talk about, not Russian roulette, or whatever, medical roulette. And sometimes they get it, and sometimes they don't. Well, these variants, now we hear deadly lambda variant, where we're going to omega to 2023, we're told. And I've told you it'll end up as an STD, sustainable, right? This is going to be sustainable, what Greta didn't get to do. And then what? Government, third party, private, public partnership, totalitarianism is what we're going to be into. It's an STD. You got psychopaths running the world. You can't get anything but disease from this. And if we don't respond to it, it's going to happen to us. They're telling us the future Lambda variants. Now, moving on. How is the first vaccine they made under even Moderna uncontaminated, even if it wasn't a toxic chemical weapon, how was it designed to do a variant mutation? Even if we consider this something that influenza they know they can't even keep up with, that the vaccines you're getting today actually do anything for these new variants, even if they were real. Deadly Lambda variant could be neutralizing vaccines. No, they're just ineffective. That's if we give them the credit to say that it does anything. So we're already getting the news that the vaccines you're all going to be injected with are already out of season. Now, wouldn't they be? We've already been through at least a season. If we take COVID and say it's influenza, and it's a Lambda variant of influenza from the time the year before, you would understand quickly why the vaccines that they have so-called approved cannot do what they are told to be doing. It's the virus, so-called, has moved on. It shows the arbitrary and capricious nature, if I didn't even go to exceptions and exemptions for religious or conscientious objection or whatever, oh, medical, that was the other one. Got to get permission from the doctor. It shows that it's arbitrary and capricious. Why? Because they didn't start from the medical report and then go that process, man or woman causation. Mitigation measures, proper mitigation measures, I told you were going to be faulty all the way along. Another one coming down for your little ones, especially now I see these saddening pictures. Little ones going to school now behind these barriers in masks, separated by 6 feet. I even thought I saw them standing up. Folks, would you stop doing this to your little ones? NYT admits plastic COVID barriers provide false sense of security, could make things worse. Every bit of this stuff cannot do anything because it never started from a source. And there is reality that a synthetic glitch in the matrix has to deal with. Simply, anybody who understands this, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what people's experience is. Any barrier in a room, and especially when they started to say, well, we have to have more airflow, you need to remove every obstruction out of that room in order to get the airflow you need, if that's what the mitigation measure was. That every barrier they put up in a room is going to cause a turbulence. As a miner looking at a sluice box, that's one of our big deals. That's how you trap gold. That's how you trap a heavy that you want to collect up. You make eddies and you put blocks in the space of the flow. And behind every one of those screens is a dead spot that's probably trapping and concentrating bacteria, fungi, and maybe even, SARS-CoV-2? No, because that's synthetic. No, it's concentrating whatever's in the air behind any eddy flow restriction, every one of those things. They say plastic COVID barriers provide false sense of security. Yeah, because everyone believes that they did something. Don't have a concept about airflow. Don't have a concept. And it could make things worse. Well, absolutely. Doesn't take a genius, really does not take a genius to figure this out. In fact, when they increased the airflow and they put these restrictions in, they probably started concentrating even more stagnant air, moving stagnant pockets of air that the little ones are breathing through their mask, concentrating it inside, not allowing their body to breathe out so well. Whatever gets out gets concentrated, I guess, for the next kid to come in and breathe. At any rate, so these barriers don't work. They actually could cause a problem. I don't know what to say. I mean, is that it took a study to do that? When they came out with that idea, mothers and fathers should have went ballistic. And we didn't. We tried to deal with these psychopaths. Now, moving on to what we have all these things that don't work. Things that we've been denied. As I said before, they've actually repurposed drugs. They say they're repurposed, but you can't use off-label now. Where, in what? In ivermectin. A friend of mine sends a little study that came down relative to the ivermectin. And I gotta be cautious here. I'm not selling any of this. I'm not promoting it. I'm not saying it is the one. It is a tool. It is a thing. Ivermectin is very interesting and it has to be used in a special case, although this does say it can be used prophylactically. And that's very interesting. But I have a link for you. To date, the efficacy of ivermectin in COVID-19 has been supported by the following. And I find this very interesting. They'll mention SARS-CoV-2, and this is why I start to get really, you know, when these guys are not saying SARS-CoV-2 is a synthetic nothing, it only exists in the labs, not Wuhan, that any lab that can do this constructive genetics, and it's not even genetics, is it? It's some idea, some theory. I'm going to put some alphabetical letters together. I found out I can make chemistry in a model for that, and you're going to find that out as well. I don't know if I can get to that one, that problem as well. People that we would believe in, kind of like the Dr. David Martin types, they're telling us the truth, but you find out underneath, they got this little ulterior motive going, and I guess it falls far short of global genocide, but nonetheless, it's not a truth when we find it. That ivermectin in COVID, the flu-like symptoms that ivermectin can actually work, now has a list of things supporting this notion that's been denied by the CDC or the FDA. And I guess I could read a couple. Since 2012, not for ivermectin, I went and made sure that there have been studies that say that things like ivermectin will inhibit different replications of viruses in influenza, Zika, dengue. SARS-CoV-2 wasn't in the list from 2012, so that's what I wondered, is that a misstatement? No, that was done after like 2018 for SARS-CoV-2, but that's the problem for me. There is no SARS-CoV-2 that they could test. And so I start to wonder about even these tests that are telling us there may be even a prophylactic in ivermectin, which is fascinating about this. And if it's not biological in its origins, then it's chemical and it's in its effect. And that's what we're actually, why it prophylactically would work. Ivermectin says it inhibits SARS-CoV-2 replication and binding to the host tissue through several observed and proposed mechanisms. Now, they threw in, if you go read this, they use SARS-CoV-2, but they're not actually, in this case, I'm not so offended, because they are really doing the model. They're saying that the ivermectin actually binds to where it is proposed, the model for SARS-CoV-2 binds. And so it displaces the supposed binding point. And so I'm not so much offended by the reference to SARS-CoV-2 in this statement. In other words, they're saying that this ivermectin, even though it's supposed to be an antiparasitic, it actually goes to the cells they have studied now, and it binds to those receptors and causes the supposed contagion to not be able to bind. Going on, ivermectin has a potential anti-inflammatory properties. I'll just stop. I could read it. There's a lot more to these points. You can go through. You can find them. There's support for ivermectin. It's not a catch-all, though. You have to understand how it has to be used. Ivermectin significantly diminishes viral loads. I wonder how they figured that one out, but it's not particular to SARS-CoV-2 necessarily. They do put in this list that it's similar to coronaviruses. And so there's a thing about ivermectin. I don't want to push it so hard. I do know there's some limitations, but you get to it quick and you get to it on time. And or, in this case, it's a prophylactic. You take it over time and it reduces your susceptibility. Remember, one of the key factors relative to the transmission as well is whether you're susceptible. Why your own immune system kicking in stronger than anything that a vaccine could ever do and not diminishing you is a killer T cell, I guess. Whatever, right? It's a killer immune response that goes into the future and doesn't diminish. Now, the question gets asked relative to this Now, going back, okay, we got some things that might be able to help fend this off. Your health, being healthy, having a healthy system, having your healthy biological constitution is the best, apparently, right here. That's the best way to keep this from you, even though you're being blamed. Even though you don't, you have a decision that you don't want to have your blood corrupted by this injection. They get back to Apple and the Apple ID for your freedom. And as an identified enemy combatant having to deal with TSA, still, the BBC asks, can the U.S. crack down on fake vaccination cards? Apparently, fake vaccination passports and cards are a big deal. It's happening. Well, I'm going to answer that pretty quickly. Can the United States crack down on fake vaccination cards? Well, no. They can't, and the reason is they couldn't crack down on a fake pandemic. Not one of the 3,000 jurisdictions in the United States was capable of cracking down on a fake pandemic, which causes the vaccination cards. Harvard, a PE epidemiologist, is one of the statistic guys, says the case for COVID vaccine passports was just demolished. So where the government can't, a new study comes out to say that found that infections from COVID-19 confers considerably longer lasting and stronger protection against the Delta variant of the viruses than vaccines. What I've been saying all this broadcast, here's the record, here's what I've said before, here's now, we got the proof. Again, the referencing to SARS-CoV-2 really has a problem, but I'll go with it if it helps to keep these parasitic psychopaths off my neck. How about you? But this is all the knowledge you'd have in your back pocket after you've enforced the assertion that there's been no demonstrable exigency for the request for an exemption. In other words, there is no record of a communicable a disease medical report, the assessment of which says you are the risk, pursuant to communicable disease law of the state that your employer and your employment is in. The mitigation of which now can be shown for a vaccine to be inferior to your own biological response. And does not prevent, the vaccine does not prevent, they now by definition cannot be called the vaccination because it doesn't prevent and actually causes the booster, the need for boosters that your immune system does not. We have the report, folks. U.S. COVID-19 vaccines proven to cause more harm than good based on pivotal clinical trial data analyzed using the proper scientific endpoint, quote, all cause severe morbidity. All right, so do I read it more? I don't need to read more. Most people, a lot of you are now checking into the links, but a lot of you now don't. So I'm just going to, you're not interested, I'll move on. Those of you that are, you get the links. You can get the information. You can build your knowledge base for future application if you get into a dogfight with these psychopaths trying to put mange all over you. And why? Because you stop being a cricket. India approves, with all this other stuff and vaccines, India approves the first DNA-based COVID-19 vaccine for those age 12 and older. Shocking to me to see the age 12. DNA-based, though, not RNA-based. In other words, this is a double helix style. I'm not saying it's better, but this is what India's come up with. And they say that's a needle-free injector to do this. Coming out of India. But it takes 3 doses. Now this is the move from, they made a mistake calling them boosters because that just said, wait a minute, I've done my thing, I got my injections, what do you need boosters? These folks in India may be a little bit smarter. They just said it's going to take 3. Not 1 and 2 boosters or 2 and 1 booster. No, it's going to take 3 doses of this DNA style that we're going to give to a 12-year-old. And what is that? That's their state, their government, their nation promoting business over health. Because they're still focused in on a synthetic pandemic, aren't they? And so let's go ahead and throw in another one. I was interested, I haven't heard about the Russian one here. Growing evidence suggests Russian Sputnik V, Sputnik 5 COVID vaccine is safe and very effective. but questions remain. So while Moderna is getting contaminated and there's questions about the VAERS is blown up on the damage scene, there's a report here, Russia's not doing so bad. Remember, they were the first to come out to tell us they were doing the adenovirus adjustment, which is interesting because the adenovirus, so-called, is a larger virus which the body can handle much easier. It's not so small as a coronavirus. Forget the SARS-CoV-2, but the coronavirus. So if you must, I've been wondering, one of the mitigation measures that the government might have to provide was if you look at have to, because you've got no exempts, you got no thought in your brain to defend yourself, and you have to get something, maybe it'd be interesting to say, well, when you can get me the Russian Sputnik 5, maybe I'll think about taking that. What's the maybe? I want full disclosure, because you're not giving it to me on the others. See, that's all part of what they have to do. See, when you start applying the black and white of the communicable disease law, you get to say all this because it's available to you. But what's the problem with all these things coming down? In the most oppressive state we can see at this point, maybe even worse than China. Maybe not, I don't know. Maybe they're matched. They're close. They're going to be doing interrelations. Jabbed Australian official develops Bell's palsy in middle of CV press conference. Do I need to say more? They admit that it was. They admit he got it. They admit that he responds with Bell's palsy, what the company said you would, as a side effect, respond to. I'm wondering, did that report go back to VAERS and be part of the list of harms that this thing does? The Australian official themselves, advocating you do the same, develops Bell's palsy. And we get the story, Australia created a police state to stop COVID-19. Data shows it's not working. What'd you think? Yes, it was made to make a police a military state. And now the evidence is that that arbitrary, capricious attack was not going to work. But it is working because that's what it was actually meant to do. Bring a new monetary and fiscal policy as an economic policy through vaccine policy to bring austerity and control. And then you hear Apple right in on it, and this Apple a day is not the type of cure we were told about. Again, understand, interesting correlation. The Apple a day they offer you is electronic. The one that should help you is actually natural, and maybe we should start really paying attention to that. Toss your phones. Suffer, whatever that is you suffer, or you're going to suffer worse by engaging it. You're not just getting along with this. I have another, the officials are now, I was waiting for this, I don't know why it doesn't happen more. An official comes down with one of the very things they said was a side effect. Like, do you want to get that? And that wasn't enough to stop it. No, they're going to push the police state. Why? Because it's not about vaccines being for health. It's about enforcing that military police state, which I'm hoping now I can see. People are seeing it is a military state. As I said about the Guard being involved, Operation Warp Speed, nothing but military involved. Dual use, military, Title 50, War Department. You've been taken over from your own domestic enemies looking like they're your domestic counterparts. I have a video from somebody to show you that this is nothing to do, again, with cures, if fixing you, preventing anything. There's a video you can watch and listen to. You can take whatever you want to say, credit from him as much as you want. Certified occupational therapist, whistleblower, more patients are dying from the vaccine than COVID, than the flu symptom. And you can listen to what he says. And he explains the process that we heard originally, that they are just bringing people in, claiming them to be the flu-like symptoms is enough to put them on therapies that are actually killing them. And these places get paid for that. He's out of Hawaii. The place is sunshine, and that's what they're doing to people. Don't roll someone out in the sunshine there. No. do this other stuff to them, because it's not about health. It's not about prevention. There's another proof. And then we have this little ray of light, and I haven't had time to go back through and find out, but judge reverses ban that prevented unvaccinated mother from seeing her son. An Illinois judge on Monday reversed his previous decision to ban a divorced mother from seeing her 11-year-old son because she hasn't been vaccinated against COVID-19. I don't have enough information on why. If you have a deeper look, you might want to look into that to see maybe that judge had a good, valid reason that you can use for yourself why an unvaccinated woman couldn't be restrained from seeing her own son. Now, this quickly now, doctor, I have a criticism here. Again, truthful information has a lot of things confidently given, and if you want to hear this stuff, Dr. Artis, hospital protocol is what is murdering COVID flu patients, consistent with that certified, tell them a certified occupational therapist. An occupational therapist, folks, is seeing this, okay, not even in the treatment side. But Dr. Artis makes a video, very interesting. It's a inspiring a bit, but then he made this comment that says, I was the only one to click on this link and go read, and then he tells you what he was reading. Well, I looked at some of his information. There was something that started to drone on about what he was doing in his protocol. He kept talking about his protocol. I'm thinking, what could the protocol be? I mean, what is it? What vitamins? What supplementation? What action are you doing outside of this crime that's going on? Well, he refers to a document. It's his own. I found his own, what do you call it, presentation. And in that document, he presents another document to prove. He says, if you want to know how COVID works here, go read this. He supports some of his discussion on, go read on how the COVID spike works. And so I went there. I clicked on what he champions he did, where no one else clicked on it. I went and I tracked down his link. Impact of thiodisulfide balance and the binding of COVID-19 spike protein and angiotensive converting enzyme 2 receptor. And do you know, when I looked, blew right past this, because I'm listening to this guy, he's telling me the truth, and I blew right past the abstract, which I want to dive in and see. Let me explain with how this works. I dove right in, and you know, it took me a couple of large paragraphs before I ran across the words computational and reported structures and realized I've been duped by this guy. He's referring to something that's a model. Then you go look up the word model. And then you find out that he's relating his promotion of what he wants to sell you eventually. Get to his website. You can't get to any of it unless you're going to buy his product. And that's what starts to tear this stuff with me. He doesn't tell you what it is. It ends up being vitamin C, magnesium, and something else, a selenium-type based thing. The selenium was very important because I talked to you about that. But anyway, be careful of the truth we're given. This ends up relying upon models. It proves SARS-CoV-2 is only statistics to begin with, and that's cooking the books. And he's building a whole business out of getting you to go listen to his 3 products, and then you go buy them. When you can go right down to any store and do it for yourself, and have you been listening behind the woodshed, you would have already been doing that and more. There is information in his documentation about magnesium y'all need to read. Very important. Again, the truth he tells is there, but he's using it as a promotion. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.